This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And we need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Out across the world at 831-464-8295. That's 831-464-8295. And here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls. We have with us Gary Aldridge from the Patrick Henry Center. And you may remember Gary's book, Unlimited Access. He was a FBI agent working in the White House under the Clinton administration. And I guess he saw a lot of things there that were pretty disquieting. Eventually, he resigned from the FBI and wrote this book. And, of course, he came under terrible attack for doing that, for daring to tell what really was going on in the White House itself. And, of course, now he's out in the real world. He's established a center. He's helping people who, whistleblowers. He's established a program for women to defend themselves, because certainly a woman has to know how to defend herself in these times. Gary, thank you so very much for being with us today.
Dr. Stan, thank you so much for giving me the chance. Always a pleasure to speak to you.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you're doing with the Patrick Henry Center now.
Well, Stan, we're moving forward on several fronts. Of course, as you have mentioned, we are protecting whistleblowers who come to us from the federal system. Quite often, these folks have already tried to surface the wrongdoing, and now they're in a lot of trouble with the agencies. Sometimes they have already lost their jobs, and now they're attempting to recover the job or to get some kind of compensation for being unfairly fired or forced to resign. We have a case I think we've talked about before, and that is Darlene Catalan, who's a former U.S. Customs federal agent, retired in protest in 1999, resigned. I shouldn't say she didn't retire. I shouldn't say retire. She resigned. Therefore, she was out of a employment, and has suffered quite a lot of financial harm, her and her husband and children, because of it. But she could no longer be a part of the fraud that was going on with the U.S. Customs Agency out there in California, and so she had to go.
Well, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that? Because it's, most of our listeners are quite naive. I mean, they're wonderful people. Of course, some of them are very well informed, but the idea that there would be people in government who would be protecting those who are bringing drugs into the country seems so absurd. But basically, wasn't Darlene actually trying to stop these big tanker cars, these rail cars coming in? She actually found that they were actually putting all drugs and other contraband into these tanker cars, and when she tried to stop them, isn't that what brought the wrath of the officialdom of the U.S. Customs Service down on her head?
Absolutely. That's exactly what happened. And just to remind the listeners that we have a Customs Service at the border, and part of their responsibility is to check commerce coming through over the border. Sometimes it comes by way of ship and is unloaded in various ports, such as Long Beach. Sometimes it comes across in trucks at the various border crossings where there are major roads, and then sometimes it comes across in rail. And so we have customs agents working in each of these areas, and Darlene's job and the group that she worked with had responsibility for the rail traffic coming across the border from Mexico. They discovered early on that the drug traffickers and others that were trying to bring contraband into the country were using pressurized tanker cars, rail tanker cars, to bring the cocaine and other drugs and contraband in. She realized quickly that these cars could also be used for terrorist activity, because not only could you hide people in these tanker cars, but you could also bring explosive devices you could put a nuclear bomb in one of these tanker cars. And since they weren't getting the proper scrutiny by the customs officials, she and her fellow agents became very, very concerned about this and attempted to do something about it.
And actually, after, of course, they came after her, I think that didn't was six or seven customs officers resign en masse, and of course it got the conspiracy of silence from the media.
Yes, eventually a whole bunch of these federal agents would resign, and of course that's absolutely unprecedented that you'd have so many federal employees leave at one time, but this was in 1999, and it was during the Clinton administration, and the media was not properly covering events related to the federal agencies. And so Darlene has attempted to bring this, she's done an absolutely magnificent job of bringing this to the attention of elected officials, and the Patrick Henry Center has had some something to do with getting her some audiences with some of these folks, and we've been helping her. We also are helping her in an effort to get her on certain television and radio shows where she can tell her own story, because she's very compelling, Stan. She's a very very honest person, very very candid, and folks think she's an exciting kind of person who can get to the point quickly and tell the people what they need to know and answer all their questions. And so she's doing quite well. But she's got this court case that she's working on in California, and her and her fellow former customs agent. And the case is coming along very well, and I wanted to tell you and your listeners that since the last time we talked, they've gotten into the deposition stage now, and they're beginning to depose important witnesses who will, and that, of course, they will form the basis for their successful court case.
Well, I think that's exciting. We've actually had Darlene on some of our other programs. We'll have her on here because, as you say, she's a very eloquent. She speaks very clearly, very believable. But most important, I think it's so vitally important that the American people understand the degree of corruption that does exist in some of our government departments. And, of course, it's always, always, always seems to be covered up. Well, we're going to be back in just a few minutes with Gary, and we'll cover much more of what the Patrick Henry Foundation is doing. But right now, I just want to mention, if you're out there in the listening audience and you believe that Radio Liberty has important information and that we need to get this sort of information out across America, why, we hope many of you will want to help us. And one of the things you can do is actually to change your long-distance carrier. And, of course, you're always being asked to do that, but we have an agreement with Promise Vision, and this is a Christian long-distance carrier. I know the people there. I know Tom Horn, and, of course, I know Reggie White by reputation. He had the courage to speak out on certain issues, and it cost him many million dollars in endorsement contracts, which he had, but he did what was right. Anyway, Promise Vision offers you good long-distance, very competitive prices, and all you have to do is call 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. Just mention you heard about it here on Radio Liberty, and 15% of whatever your bill is will come back to us and will help us. So we do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to changing your long-distance carrier. And then, of course, I also want to mention that if you have children or grandchildren in government schools, why they're not getting taught properly. And one of the biggest problems is they're not teaching them how to read properly. And so if they're having any difficulty at all, either in reading out loud or in spelling, let me suggest you give serious consideration to getting a Phonopoly set designed by Myrna Culbraith. We've had her on many, many times. And, of course, she designed the phonics game. She's been at this for many years, well over 20, 25 years, teaching people how to read phonetically. She came up with Phonopoly. It's played like Monopoly. It's loads of fun. And, of course, in the meantime, you're reprogramming a child's mind to read and spell and think phonetically. Just call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And ask for a Phonopoly set. I think you'll be glad you did. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon, Gary Aldridge from the Patrick Henry Foundation. And would you like to tell us a little, some of the other things that you're involved with, Gary?
Well, Dr. Stan, as you know, I spend a lot of time speaking to audiences around the country and about the liberal dangers back here and facing our country in Washington, D.C. And I've just gotten back from Missouri, where I spoke to the students at Truman State about the shift in this country dramatically to the left that's been occurring in the last several decades, and what impact it's having on their lives and the federal government and the liberties and the values that we all, I think, we share. And so we do have a message that we bring to the people about this in our Patrick Henry Center. We also are very, very fond, of course, of Patrick Henry, and we love to tell folks all over the country about the life and times of Patrick Henry, because we don't think that Patrick Henry has gotten enough attention over the years in our history books. But if you look back at the quotes from people like Jefferson and Washington and other important founders, you'll find quotes all over the place that give Patrick Henry credit for being the voice and the spark for the American Revolution. And so we think it's important to honor him. He never did become a president of the United States, and I think probably the reason, biggest reason was that he was a states' rights kind of person. He believed the government should be kept close to the people, where the people could keep an eye on it. And he was not a fan of a very large federal government. He wanted to keep the federal government very, very small, and he wanted to keep it very, very accountable. And most folks don't know this, but Patrick Henry and just a few others, including George Mason, insisted that the Constitution include a Bill of Rights. And when Jefferson and Washington didn't want to do that, then Patrick Henry said, well, State of Virginia shall not ratify the Constitution then. Of course, that was very, very troublesome to Jefferson and Washington and others who had attempted to get the states to all ratify. So they had to agree the next year to, if State of Virginia would ratify the Constitution, then the next year they would include a Bill of Rights, and that's exactly what happened. So most people don't know that, but their freedom of speech, their right to bear arms, their right to own a firearm, the right to have a firearm in their home or carry one on their person concealed, which is a right now in 33 states. All of those rights are covered in the Bill of Rights, and they can thank Patrick Henry and just a few other founders for standing fast on the presumption, on the belief that Americans have certain rights that can be easily spelled out so anybody can read them, especially people in the federal government can read them. And so we promote the memory and the legacy of Patrick Henry. And we have a couple of other things we're doing, Stan. We have time and some effort left over, so we are celebrating the memory of the 13 House managers who moved to impeach Bill Clinton. We think it's very important to applaud political courage whenever you find it. And certainly it took a lot of political courage on the part of the 13 House managers to bring that impeachment effort forward. Now, I know people are going to say, well, gosh, that's a long time ago. That was in 1999. But I have to remind folks, I have to remind listeners, that the friends of Bill Clinton have not stopped praising him. You can find articles all over the news about Bill Clinton and how he's misunderstood and how the things that he did are really not as bad as they seem. And so they keep talking about him. So as long as they keep talking about Bill Clinton and trying to make him look better, then the Patrick Henry Center will keep talking about the 13 House managers and how brave they were to bring that impeachment forward. And lastly, Stan, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Patrick Henry Patriots. Patriots was a program we designed about a year ago. We just launched it last night, as a matter of fact, in our first training session. And the program, Stan, is to take advantage of the fact that 33 of our states in the United States have right to carry concealed weapon permitting. And that's fine for the men, and men can go down to the NRA or to the gun shop, and they can go to the ranges and do their practicing and so forth. But the women of our country have been totally left out of this whole notion. And we don't think that's right. We think women should be included in this, especially my wife. She thinks women should be included in this. She's a former FBI agent. And there are times when women don't have a man around to protect them. But there are many, many times when women are faced with significant dangers and they want to protect themselves, and they have a perfect right to do it. And so what we're doing is we're taking women from a position of zero knowledge. We're telling them, teaching them all about gun safety, how to keep a gun safely if they choose to do it. And then we're taking right through a training class that allows them in the state of Virginia to end up owning and, of course, carrying a concealed weapon if they so choose to do that. And we have requests now from all over the country to come out and give a similar training program to women all over the country. And we've also entered into an agreement and a coalition with the Second Amendment Sisters, which is a women's organization that, of course, is promotional of the Second Amendment and the right for women to bear arms.
And I think the tragic thing is we're becoming in many ways an increasingly violent society, and we see that here in California. You know, I've been here in Santa Cruz for a better part of 50 years, off and on, and, you know, and now you can hardly turn on the television, you know, without hearing of a murder in one of our adjacent towns or shootings, even right here in the area where we live. We never used to see this sort of thing, but we are seeing it today. And it's simply because of the open immigration policies which they've allowed, and of course, so many people coming in who have a different cultural background. Well, people have to be able to defend themselves, because you can call 911. And good luck, you know, if the police get there, fine, and there are a lot of good police that are trying to do it, but they're often stretched very thin. And if they get there after serious bodily harm has been done to you, it's not their fault, it's not their responsibility, it's yours. So I commend you for it. What sort of response are you getting to this? I imagine the anti-gun people, those who would disarm the American people, everybody but the politicians, are really furious with this idea, aren't they?
Well, to be quite honest with you, we have made a very good attempt, and we've been successful in keeping this under the radar screen. What we thought we would do, Dr. Stan, is get enough women trained and then go to the media and say, look, this is what we have done. And that way, we'd have a program well underway, and it'd be quite a shock to them. And I feel comfortable about mentioning it to you now, but the lead up to this event last night, which was our first class, we've kept this very, very quiet, because we didn't want the protesting and we didn't want to concern the women who were coming to the training class. But the next class in May is totally filled up. We've purchased an entire class for the women who want to come to this training, and now we have a waiting list for the people who want to come in June and July. So it's continuing to grow. It's mushrooming. And as I say, we have requests from all over the country. We think when the liberal mainstream media get wind of this program, they're definitely going to go crazy. They always do. And we're not concerned about it, but we think that's what's going to happen.
Well, you know, one of the great tragedies is there in the nation's capital, which you would think would be the most lawful area in the entire nation. I mean, here is where our White House is and where our legislators are, and yet because they've outlawed guns there, and nobody can legally have a gun in the Washington, D.C. unless you're a federal officer or something, and yet there's just a tremendous state of lawlessness there, isn't there?
Oh, Washington, D.C. used to be the murder capital of the world, and it's held that infamous honor now for many, many, many years, and trades that honor quite often with Chicago and New York, and the level of violence is incredible, especially in the inner city. It was so much so that there are many, many people who refuse to go down to Washington, D.C. at night, and they're very afraid to go there. This is tragic for the city, of course, and it's not the way we should live. We shouldn't put up with it, and frankly, that's the essence of this program. People are sick of this, and they're not going to put up with it any longer. And of course, we're very, very pleased to be able to help people and get them to the point where they're empowered. You know, people who have access to a firearm and are trained to use it, have a permit to carry it, are empowered, Dr. Stan. They're no longer in fear.
And of course, right across the river there, right across the bridge from Washington, D.C. Are you in Virginia there where you're living and doing this?
Right, I'm in Virginia, yes.
And of course, there you can actually carry a firearm, a concealed firearm?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, once you can show proof to the state that you've had the appropriate training, which is not very much, I mean, it doesn't take you very long to get this training. Once you get that show of proof, which is a certificate, you take that along with $50 down to the office in Fairfax County down here, and submit the form, and they must issue the permit to you to carry the firearm. And so within a couple of days, here comes the permit, and you can then take that firearm with you in most places outside. Into businesses, restaurants, whatever, but you can't carry it into certain places like schools or places where alcohol is being served, such as a bar.
All right, fine. Well, right now, I'm going to have to interrupt here, and I'm going to want to mention to our listeners that Radio Liberty is carrying the Miracle 2 soap products, and you may wonder why we're selling soap products. Well, because the people like them, we think it's a good product, and it helps us to do what we do, and that is being on the air. If you'd like to learn more about it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you out a packet and an audio tape of my interview with the man who developed the soap products. And I'm not making any guarantees on it. I will tell you it is excellent soap. The people love the products, and we hope that you will as well. But it's many people say it's helped their rashes, and well, give it a try. You've got nothing to lose. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for either the Miracle 2 soap products, or you can get a complete set, or we'll be glad to send you information on it. And then, of course, we want to mention some of the items we have. We put together a 4-tape set on the Office of Homeland Security. One of those tapes is on the most frightening legislation I've ever seen in my 70 years. It's called the Model Emergency Health Powers Act. Give us a call and get the 4-tape set on the Office of Homeland Security. And, of course, we have my video on the war of Arabia. Do you really understand what happened on September 11th and the implications for your future? And, of course, if you have not yet seen my video or read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, they're also available. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, right now. A very important book is called AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic. Actually, it's a book I wrote back in 1991 that tells you the story of the politics of the AIDS epidemic and the fact that doctors have been blocked at every turn from doing what was really necessary to stop the spread of this horrible plague, both in the United States and throughout the world. AIDS, the Unnecessary Epidemic, it gives you my story of my effort working with an organized medicine, the fact that the doctors of the state of California consistently voted and supported an effective public health policy, and at every turn their efforts were frustrated by those working with an organized medicine, both at the state and national level, and The tragedy is that people are dying in America today unnecessarily. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for AIDS, the unnecessary epidemic, because you need to understand the background of this epidemic to understand what is really happening medically in America today. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, I guess this afternoon is Gary Aldrich, and he's from the Patrick Henry Foundation. One of my favorite quotations is this: it's natural for man to indulge in the illusion of hope. We're apt to shut our eyes against a painful truth and listen to the song of that siren till she transforms us into beasts. Is this the part of wise men engaged in a great and arduous struggle for liberty? Are we disposed to be the number of those who, having eyes, see not, and having ears, hear not, the things which are so concerned our temporal salvation? For my part, whatever anguish of spirit it may cost, I'm willing to know the whole truth, to know the worst, and to provide for it. That was Patrick Henry speaking at the Virginia Convention back in 1775. He was really one of the great orators of all time, wasn't he?
Yes, he certainly was, and a great leader and five-time governor of the state of Virginia. Most people don't know that. He was the very first governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia, and people loved him. He was a man of the people, and he liked staying down at the level of the people where he could help them and know their heart. But he had this fantastic ability to say what was in people's minds and hearts, and when he did it, he would galvanize them to action. And the reason he gave that speech at St. John's Church, the Liberty or Death speech, is because he felt it was time to encourage the other leaders of the colonists in Virginia to move forward to a militia, to a volunteer army composed of colonists of the state of Virginia. And he even had a plan as to how they would dress. He had a uniform in mind. Of course, what equipment they would need, which included a long rifle, some powder, some bullets for the rifle, and a tomahawk, and in the style of the Indian fighters, and so this program was initiated because of the speech that Patrick Henry gave at St. John's Church. But I'll be willing to bet you that 99 out of every 100 people in the United States today have no idea why he made that liberty or death speech. They just know he did.
Well, I think that it's a shame that they don't teach our children today, you know, about the founding fathers of these countries. And if these were brilliant men, they were God-fearing men, and that was the very foundation of this nation. I mean, you go back and you read what James Madison said about democracy. He said democracies are rare spectacles of turmoil and contention, are incompatible with personal liberty and private property, and they're usually as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths. And of course, we didn't want to have a democracy, we wanted to have a republic. And yet they don't teach that in our schools today. And, of course, there's so much that they don't teach. And so how can you have a nation if you don't understand what it's all about? And this is the big problem we have. And so I certainly hope that, you know, through the Patrick Henry Foundation, you're going to be able to help rekindle this love of liberty, which once blazed so brightly in the hearts of the American people.
Yes, absolutely. That's what we hope to do. There are other founders, of course, who deserve attention as well, but we've focused in on Patrick Henry, especially because of his stand on the First and Second Amendments. And he used these amendments, he used these rights, I should say, to his own best advantage, of course, when he was going all over the countryside speaking of the British and the harm that they were doing to the colonists, and saying to the colonists and to the leadership that war was inevitable and that they should no longer put up with the tyranny and the oppression. And, of course, in terms of the Second Amendment or the right to bear arms, Henry believed that the Second Amendment was the only thing that would stand between the new country and a monarchy. He felt certain that if the people of the country could not control the growth of the central or federal government, that eventually they would be right back into the hands of another monarchy, just like the one they had spent so much blood to get rid of.
And of course, that's one of the things that really concerns me about this Medical Emergency Health Powers Act, which are getting through our legislatures. All 50 legislatures, a carefully coordinated plan, and of course, they're getting it through under the guise, well, we have to have this because of the terrorists. But of course, they started planning on this 2 years before the terrorist attack, you know, last year. And one of the things in the original draft of this was, we're going to take the arms away from the people. Now, what does that have to do with health powers? But there really are people who would disarm the American people because they have another plan, another agenda. And although they've taken this out of the new legislation, it's so vague, they can take everything you have. They can put anybody in a quarantine or isolation unit who will not go along with their agenda, won't take the shots that they're offering or demanding. But the other thing is that they would be so concerned with taking the weapons away from the American people in the name of a health emergency. I'm always suspicious when people have another agenda that is not very obvious to you.
Well, I think most of us who value our liberty are a little bit shocked, I guess, that government officials would suggest that they would go so far. The fact is, the law, which was written, is too broad. They failed to concentrate on the true identity and nature of the terrorists we face. This was a knee-jerk reaction to a serious threat. They went overboard, and it's going to take some time to roll that kind of thing back. But we need to be vigilant. And the sad thing is that when people like you and I protest and question these things, and our patriotism and our allegiance to our country is questioned, and I think that's regrettable.
I agree with you totally. Well, our telephone number is 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. If you agree, you disagree, or if you're interested at all in the things we're talking about, I think that the story of Darlene, the customs agent, in fact, her book is a U.S. Customs Agent Badge of Dishonor. That's book we'll be carrying, because I think it's an important one. And you have to understand that here is a woman who was really dedicated to doing her job and trying to stop drugs from coming into the country. And what happened? Why she came under personal attack by people highly placed in the officialdom of the Customs Department. And it's not just there. We seem to see this same story with the DEA, with the INS and other organizations that are working to try to stop drugs. And so we have to ask what this is about. And then, of course, this idea of actually helping people to learn to protect themselves. I wish we didn't have to. I wish we had a society where there'd never be a need for anybody to be able to protect themselves. But I know one of my friends' wives had a horrible, horrible experience here, a few months ago. And, you know, she'll never be, and it's very difficult for a woman to recover from a vicious, vicious attack.
Yes, it is. It terrorizes them. Even if they are not harmed physically or overly harmed physically, they are terrorized, and it changes their life dramatically. And it's a most unfortunate circumstance that we hope we can prevent in the future. See, Dr. Stan, one of our concepts is, if we get to the point where we have enough honest citizens in the country armed and have the ability to use these firearms safely, then the bad guys, the physical predators, will not be so quick to attack someone, because they won't know whether they're armed or not. These predators who prey on women do so simply because they think they can get away with it, and they think the woman can't do anything about it. And they usually wait until the woman's alone or in a dark place where nobody can see what's happening. Well, if the woman turns around and she happens to be armed, of course that man is going to get the surprise of his life, his very short life in some cases. And don't ask me to feel any pity for such a person who gets, as far as I'm concerned, exactly what he deserves. But our women have been terrorized for too long. And I would make this point. If you were tonight, right now, pick up the telephone and order a pizza, call for an ambulance, and call for the police, I wonder which would arrive at your door first? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It would depend upon where you live. I've had some very, very good relationships with my local police. But, you know, you live back there, and I wonder about Washington, D.C. I really do.
Well, the average response time to a 911 call has been found to be 20 minutes. And people who are calling 911 normally don't have 20 minutes, Stanley.
Sure.
I mean, you could get a pizza quicker than 20 minutes. So we're concerned, of course, that that this be changed. And of course, we all want the police to respond quicker. We want ambulances to get to people quicker, but they don't get there quicker. And the bureaucracy throws up their hands and say, well, we just don't know how to do it any better. Well, if that's their answer, then I think people ought to have a right to defend themselves and protect themselves.
Oh, I do too. And, you know, it's really rather exciting to see what you're doing. And we know that, you know, in those states, according to Dr. John Lott, who's analyzed it, in the states where the people have the right to carry a concealed weapon, the incidence of violent crimes has actually gone down, hasn't it?
Right. Crime rates have gone down, and the crooks move. Well, either the crooks change their mind and then they're leaving people alone. Remember that most crimes against women are totally arbitrary crimes that could or could not. In other words, the crook can make the choice, I will do this or I won't do this. And he's not going to attack a woman if he's afraid that there'll be some consequence for that attack. He's just not going to do it. So in that way, we're able to change his mind. We're not in the business of changing hearts here. We'll let others who are far more expert in this area attempt to do that with these violent predators. And good luck. All I'm saying is that we should protect our women. We should help our women protect themselves. In the meantime, let folks try to change the minds of violent men. That's great. Keep doing it. But if that violent man attacks a woman in my household, he's likely going to find out really quickly that it was the worst mistake of his life.
Well, especially if your wife is an ex-FBI agent, I'm sure she's a very, very expert in the use of firearms.
Yes, she is. But, Stan, you don't have to be an expert in the use of firearms to defend yourself. I think it's very good to be very proficient in the use of a firearm. And, of course, it's vital that people who have firearms know how to keep them safely. And those two things are most important. But the fact of the matter is most altercations happen between people at arm's length. And so it's not a question of shooting from 50 yards away or something like that. We find most gunfights, if you will, if that's what you want to call this kind of thing, happen within 2 to 5 seconds. No more than 2 to 3 shots are fired altogether, and the altercations happen within an arm's length. So it's a rather quick process. If the woman happens to be armed, she's still alive or she's not raped. That's the result we're looking for.
All right, we're going to have to take another break here, and this is the time when I have to, of course, remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported, and if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we do what we do 5 hours a day, getting people across America to understand some of the basic elements of our nation's history, and, of course, the foundations upon which our freedom rests. These are things that you're not going to learn from Barbara Walters or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw. These are things you're not going to learn in your schools today, and yet these have been taught down through the decades long ago, no longer. And, of course, we have a voice. We can hope to rekindle that flickering flame of freedom, which seems to be rapidly being extinguished in America, and we need to bring it back again and have it burning brightly again. So if you believe in what we're doing, if you believe that our message is important, if you believe that freedom is worth fighting for and sacrificing for, we hope that many of you will decide right now you're going to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or as much as you can afford, you've got our 4 best tapes, you've got our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is get the truth out across America on shortwave and the Internet and certainly by satellite and on radio stations across the nation. And we do have a fair number of radio stations that do pull our programs down. But, of course, it's an expensive proposition. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. And seriously consider joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters or subscribe to our newsletter. But whatever you do, you'll be helping us preserve America. Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes. And, of course, if you are just listening to that last announcement on the JFK assassination tapes, we do have a new tape set. It's called the JFK Assassination Update, and it includes an interview with Lyndon Johnson's mistress, fascinating stories that you won't hear elsewhere. And so give us a call if you'd like to get either the original JFK assassination tape set or the update, or we'll be carrying a book called Regicide. It actually contains a number of CIA documents that were given to the author who was actually, because the CIA agent was going to die, and of course they couldn't come after him after he was dead for releasing secrets. So it's a really a fascinating book. It gives you real insight into what the people in key positions in government knew about the Kennedy assassination that the American people weren't allowed to know about. That's Regicide, or, of course, either one of the two tape sets. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Now with us is Gary Aldridge, and Gary's on the front lines of this battle. He lives there in Virginia, close to the center of our government, and having worked in the FBI for many years. And, of course, he's trying, of course, to help women to learn how to take care of themselves. And through the Patrick Henry Foundation, of course, he is helping some of the whistleblowers. Do you want to get your telephone number and your website out there, Gary?
Thank you very much, Dr. Stan. Of course, we'd love a call from folks if they'd like to talk to us about this. It's 703 area code 691-2301. That's 691-2301. We'd love to talk to you about our programs. If they use the Internet, they can easily find us at patrickhenrycenter.org. That's patrickhenrycenter.org. While I'm on the subject of Internet websites, I heard a brilliant idea today I want to pass along to your listeners. I'm sure that most of your listeners are against this terrible scourge of pornography that's going on the Internet. They might want to listen to a suggestion that I heard just the other day, that all of these sites that try to promote and sell this scurrilous material have it they be required to have as part of their address the last four letters porn, P-O-R-N, so that they could no longer hide under the address of suchandsuch.com or suchandsuch.org, but they would be clearly identifiable by the four letters dot P-O-R-N. I think it's just an absolutely great idea. Of course, we want to try to stem the tide of pornography on the Internet, but...
Well, of course, a lot of this is being put up intentionally and purposely to corrupt people's morals. And,
yes.
And you say, why would anybody do that? I mean, a lot of this you can get without it. It doesn't cost anything. They're not making any money on it. Yes, they're getting something more important than that. They're getting the very heart and soul of people. They're producing depravity. And there really are people out there who are interested in doing that because they know that a depraved people will not be concerned about freedom.
The nature of pornography, and I used to prosecute these cases, so I know a little bit about it, Dr. Sanders, but the nature of pornography is such that folks that look at it, are tempted to look at it, or are tricked into looking at it, are fascinated in some deep, dark way by it, and so they seek more of it. It's almost like a drug. They seek more of it, and so once they're hooked on it, then of course the makers of this filth want to charge them money to see even more interesting, even more shocking pictures, depictions of conduct between human beings, and that's exactly why they send these secret, hidden messages out to people. They trick you into opening the mail, and once you open the mail, then you see the material, and they trick you that way. It should be against the law for them to do that. But the federal government, under 8 years of Bill and Hillary Clinton and Janet Reno, did nothing at all to attempt to stem the tide of this garbage. So it has flourished in the 8 years that Bill and Hillary Clinton were in the White House. The Bush administration is moving forward to make some changes, to do some good things, and we applaud them for it. But it's going to take an awful lot of work to catch up with where we were before Bill and Hillary Clinton took over the White House and the Department of Justice.
No, you know, pornography is really addicting. This is a problem that a lot of men have, and of course, it's not something that's really talked about. But it ruins so many marriages, it ruins so many lives, and of course, it really attacks our very soul. And I mean, there's certain things that, you know, there are certain things in all of us that can be attracted to that. I'll never forget one time going into a hotel and turning on the television, I pushed the wrong button, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing up there on the screen. And, of course, I turned it off, but I still remember what I saw.
Well, it is, some of these images are very shocking, and it's not the kind of thing that most people seek. But the dark side of us is such that it sometimes it's very difficult to avert our eyes from it, and people who sell this stuff know that, and that's why they try to trick you into opening up their mail on the internet and have you take a look at what it is that they have sent. I guess maybe one of the questions our society may have to deal with one day, Stan, is why so many women willingly agree to be photographed in such a way, in such a manner. I think it's a dark side of women that ought to be addressed by the members of that gender. There's an awful lot of blame directed at the men, but by gosh, there seems to be an endless number of women who are quite willing to get in front of that camera. And there's something about our human nature that's, you know, the evil side of us that... I'm no psychologist or theologian, but it just concerns me that so many people would agree to do this kind of thing.
Well, with good reason. And of course, you know, 50 years ago, this was not a problem because we could control this at the local level. And we could still control it at a local level, you know, as far as the servers are concerned, and simply saying, you know, if we're the local law, we're not going to allow you to. But of course, we've restricted the ability of the local governments to do what they traditionally did, and that is, of course, to be able to control the filth, you know, and you may find some communities where they wouldn't think there was anything wrong with it, but the overall majority of our people are good people. But unfortunately, well, when they took away from the local community their ability to control anything, they created the benchmark, the foundation for moral anarchy, and that's where we're moving towards rapidly today.
I agree with you. I would just simply say that regardless of the community you might find yourself in, there could be communities that are considered very, very liberal. The point is, not everybody in that community wants to see this material, and they don't want to even know it exists. And that's their right, I believe, to not be assaulted with this material, regardless of whether you live in San Francisco or New York City. And this very illegal material, of course, which is sent, again, through the Internet, unwelcomed material sent to ordinary average people, there ought to be a law enforced against this kind of thing so that people are not assaulted in the privacy of their own homes you know, have this come over their phone lines right into their computer systems. It's just not right.
Well, I couldn't believe this latest Supreme Court decision that said that as long as it was virtual porn and not real porn, it was perfectly all right. I don't understand the difference, but they seem to feel that there's a very real difference, and so if it's only virtual porn, why, of course, that's perfectly all right, protected by the First Amendment.
Yes, a most unfortunate ruling. I think that they made the point that the law was not correctly written. I don't know who crafted the law. I don't know. I believe it was something that was done during the Clinton administration, so I'm not surprised it was faulty and would not sustain the test of the Supreme Court. That does not surprise me. In fact, there's a side of me that wonders whether it was written purposefully to fail. And I know that lawyers can do that. They can put the wording into a law, that little ticking time bombs in the law where they know that the thing cannot possibly survive a Supreme Court test.
Now, that's what they've done here in California with the three strikes in law, you know. And originally it was for three major felonies, and they've just misapplied this law to raise a revulsion to it, you know, sending a man to prison for life because he stole a AA battery, something like that.
Yeah.
And so they carry this thing to an absurdity intentionally to destroy the very fabric of our law, and these people are so clever and so wicked. Well, we're just about out of time. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Well, take heart. The nation is composed of mostly good people, good-hearted people. I meet hundreds of them whenever I travel, and I go all over the country, and even in the larger cities, where we'd expect to find most of your liberal folks who wouldn't like me or you, Dr. Stan. I find good people, and that's the nature of this country. We're mostly good people. Trouble is, we don't have enough leaders in the country. I would suggest anybody listening out there who has a concern about some of the things we've talked about tonight, they might want to get involved. Get involved in their community, at their school, in their neighborhood. Take part in the work that I do and the work that Dr. Stan does. And as soon as you get involved, you'll see how effective one person can be, how effective you can be. And it's such a good feeling, isn't it, Dr. Stan, to be involved, get some things done, make some changes, and then you can be content that you have made your contribution.
Amen to that. Well, God bless you for everything you do.
Thank
you so very much for being with us.
Thanks a lot for having me on.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And again, that telephone number is 703-691-2301. That's 703-691-2301. And the address on the web is PatrickHenryCenter.org, PatrickHenryCenter.org. We've got Rick calling from Texas. If you'd like to stay on, I'll talk to him after
the program.
But right now, of course, we're going to have to ask you to remember to pray for our country, and certainly pray for our leaders, pray for our ministers, because they should be leading this battle, this spiritual battle in which we're engaged. And unfortunately, a lot of them don't even want to talk about the spiritual battle because it's controversial. And then we ask you, of course, to pray for revival, because if the people of this country don't turn back to the Lord, then the Lord is going to bring his wrath on this nation, and it'll be a horrible thing to contemplate. And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until Monday at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.
this is why we're in trouble, you know. What all you can do is find yourself your own church or create your own church, or you can find a good minister, get in and back him because they sure need help. Otherwise, just set up a home church, and this is maybe where we're going to have to go. You have to understand that our government has done this control of truly Luciferian people. And